Forgive me if I'm a bit hoarse this morning. We've had this flu bug, so my voice is a bit sort of gruff. We're continuing from 1 John. We've been sort of working our way through it. It's a beautiful teaching from the apostle who knew Yeshua, who was Yeshua's closest disciple. And he somehow had this incredible ability to, the Lord gave him to, as it were, funnel the Lord's teaching. And of course, we have John's gospel that he gave us, and through the Apostle John, and that Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, brought to his mind all that Yeshua told him. And then we have the teaching from 1 John. And we've got up to 1 John 5. And I'm going to read that. I'm sorry, we've got up to 1 John 4, not 1 John 5. We've got up to 1 John 4. And I'm going to be reading that 1 John 4, verse 1 to 14. And we'll just go over the last few verses of 1 John 3 just to fuse into it. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus the Messiah, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. And then 1 John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus the Messiah has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus the Messiah has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. It was interesting in our discussions earlier on, is very relevant for the first part of this. because the Apostle John brings up about this whole aspect of false prophets. And it's interesting that this is not a new thing at all. Of course, Israel in the Tanakh, in the Old Covenant, was completely overtaken by false prophets. You remember the prophets of Baal, and Israel was always listening to the wrong people. It was one of our terrible sins. The prophets of Baal, you remember Jeremiah and the false prophets, and there were forever false prophets. So this is not a new thing at all. But we are to be aware of it, and we also are to test the spirits whether they are of God. This is an active process, which for us as believers, so when all this gender stuff is coming up, etc., etc., we are to test the spirits. We can know whether it's a spirit of truth or whether the spirit of error. We can know whether it's a spirit of lying or the spirit of truth. We can know whether it's a spirit of deception or the spirit from God. We have to test the spirits whether they are of God. In verse 2, he tells us, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus the Messiah has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus the Messiah has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So that spirit of Antichrist was already in the world at John's time. We see it in the New Testament. That was the spirit behind, tragically behind the Pharisees trying to destroy Yeshua, and behind those trying to destroy the early disciples. And that spirit was already in the world then. And in the last 2,000 years, we have seen that spirit gathering momentum. Now we're living in times in which it's very apparent that the final manifestation of Antichrist is very close now. That's really, really clear. And we can all sense that, and we can see it. There's lots of signs, Israel being one of many. We know that that's was not far away now. And it's a particular, although we must be aware of that, we mustn't become preoccupied with it. We have work to do. That's God's concern. He will deal with that. But we also have to be aware of what's going on and not ignorant of it and not unaware of what is going on. It's interesting that one of the signs of truth is that we recognize that God has sent his son, the Messiah, into the world. The Son of God has come into the world. The Father sent the Son. So just in that alone, we have all the confidence that we know and that we can know in this whole gender talk. God has spoken. We have such clarity. Jesus, Yeshua, speaks to us of the Father. So we don't need to go any further. We don't need to go beyond that. Within that is all that we need to know. God is not like us. We are made in his image. God is beyond time, beyond everything. God, as the apostle showed us, and as the Lord showed him, God is love, but he also dwells in unapproachable light. The Kabbalistic understanding of the Shekinah, I think, is really false because it's based on this premise that Jesus isn't the Son of God. So if we know that he is the Son of God, and we know that that is the truth, everything else fits into place in our thinking and in our understanding of who God is and who we are. We are sons of Yeshua, who is the Son of the Father. The Father sent Yeshua. Yeshua, as it were, called us. And in that is utter peace and utter joy and strength and love and acceptance, full acceptance. And we know who we are by the grace of God. And I mean, I just feel so sad for those who are caught in the midst of all this furor, because underneath it all is rebellion against God. That's what's behind it. At the root of it all is a rebellion against God, to draw mankind, humankind, even further and further away from God. The whole gender thing is a delusion, one of many, to draw people further and further and further away from God. Because God has given us in his purity and in the simplicity of truth, all that we need to know. So right at the beginning, we know God Elohim, God in, and that is a plural, spoke all of creation into being. And I don't know about you guys, but that's all I need to know. There is enough in that. I could spend the whole of my life just meditating on that, just thinking on that. And it's like, there's so much in that that you could explore that is so deep, and you could not even come to the end of that alone. So there's these mysteries in God, and we can have that security, and that's what God wants as we approach this anti-Christian time more and more, that you and I have this security, that we know that we're beloved. Because we've accepted the Son and he's now living in you, he's living in me, he's living in his body on the earth. By his grace, we are his body on the earth. He is with the Father now before his coming back, but at the moment he's with the Father, but his spirit is in us and he is in you, he's in me. And that is all that we need to live this life of holiness and godliness. And we confess that Jesus the Messiah, has the Son, has come, and therefore we know that God, we have peace with God. And that gives us the security that we need. And often in these conversations with our other, you know, with folk who are like really caught up in this whole gender thing, my only response is to seek to draw them to Jesus. Come to Yeshua, come to Jesus. He will show you the truth. He is the truth. He will show you the truth. Without him, you are just in darkness. Of course you don't know the truth. Of course you're confused about who you are, your identity, your gender, and all this stuff. Of course you're confused because you don't know who you are. But when you know who you are, when you know that you're beloved in God, that God sent his only begotten Son to die for you, and that you're reconciled to God, you know who you are. So, and then the apostle says, you are of God, little children. I love the way he always speaks to the disciples as little children, or beloved, beloved little children. You've overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. There will always be this battle with the world. And then verse 6 is a very pivotal kind of verse, and he says what the Apostle Paul also says in different ways in different scriptures. We are of God. What he's doing here is reaffirming the apostolic authority that Yeshua gave to the apostles. We are of God. I mean, if this wasn't truth, this would be so arrogant to say. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It is so clear. If we listen to the apostolic scriptures, if we listen to the word of God, we know that it is the truth. And so we have this connection and all that we need. But if we're not listening to the word of God, that is the spirit of error. So we know that first completely. And that goes whether you're a bishop or an archbishop or whatever, or this, that, or the other, or a rabbi or an imam or whatever. It's so clear. It's the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. You either listen to the word of God, and that the truth that God has sent his son, one is truth and one is error. It's that simple. And, you know, God is so gracious. He could have made it really complicated where you and I needed to go to a universal university for millennia to understand it, that to understand even the tiny beginnings of what we need to know. You have to go to a universe for a thousand, to a university for 100,000 million years. And even then you wouldn't even begin to know what you need to know. But he's made his truth so simple that even a child can understand it. Even a little child can understand it and have their prayers answered. That's how God has made it. It's that simple, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I remember when I was a very young believer myself, really young. I didn't know whether I'd hardly been born again more than a few months, really. I was working in a young people's home, and they had been sent there for the most terrible crimes that they'd done. Forgive me if I've told this story before. And I befriended them, shared the gospel with them, which didn't go down too well with one group of them, which was quite a big group. I had a knife at my throat. And one of the guys was going to kind of kill me with it. And I sort of prayed, Lord, I mean, I knew he could do it because on his own, I wouldn't have had a worry. But when they were in a group, I was seriously concerned because youth will do things in a group just to consider themselves to be something and somebody. Anyway, but that was just one of the things that happened in this home. You know, it was a young people's home. And amongst their group was a young lad, and he was sent there because he'd set fire to somebody's house. He posted some burning letters in their house and set fire to their house. Anyway, by the grace of God, this child came to the Lord. I shared the gospel with them all. He was the only one who responded. And we had this lovely little time together, and he really received the Lord, and he wanted Jesus in his life, and he wanted forgiveness for his sin, and he wanted a new beginning, and he wanted to start again, and he was so sorry about what had happened. And so we prayed the prayer, and he prayed the sinner's prayer. Wonderful. And then I said, foolishly, is there anything that you would like to pray for? God is there. He hears your prayers now. He loves you and he cares for you. Is there anything you'd like to pray for? And he said, yes. I'd like to be out of here within 10 days. Well, when he said that, my heart sank because he had a file. As I said, it was like this big. It wasn't just the burning that he'd done. It was like huge file. My heart absolutely sank when he said that. I went home. I told Laurie, Anyway, within a week, that child was out of that home. Within a week, his uncle, who turned up from nowhere, he didn't even know he had an uncle, turned up from nowhere, wanted to take him, adopted him. Within a week, that child was out of there. God answers prayer. And God has come down to the simplest, but it's too much for us. We want to be complicated. We think we know more than God. But actually, God comes, and that's what faith is about. God comes to us, but his word is absolutely clear. And in its own way, simple, but in its own way, the most profound thing that we will ever, ever come across. And we could spend our whole lives and never, ever come to the, even begin to enter into what it's all really saying. So the first part of this passage then is about this whole area of deception, being aware, being on our guard. And then the second passage from verse 7 to verse 14 is all about the practical outworking of that in love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And this is the key verse here, really, for us to understand. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And so the Lord calls us, and it's really his commandment, because he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Greater love has no one than this, the one lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. This is my commandment, that you love one another. And this sort of Yeshua love, Jesus love, agape love, is like his love in the, it's a laying down sort of love. Now, feelings are very odd things. You might have not felt very well this morning when you woke up. You might not feel very well when you go to bed. Feelings are really strange, odd things. But mercifully, faith isn't feelings, and love isn't feelings. This sort of love isn't feelings, because it's this sort of love is a laying down of self. Of ourselves, one for the other. In the same way that Jesus, Yeshua, laid down his life for you, that is the pattern that you are to follow. That is the very pattern that you are to grab a hold of and keep in your heart and in your mind. as he laid down his life for me. That is the pattern that he now calls me to do with his body. It's his body, it's his world, and he is calling me to do what he has done for me. In that way, I become his friend. I become his servant. If I am doing what he commands me to do, he commands us to do certain things. Again, the commandment is not complicated. It's incredibly simple. It's horribly simple, actually. We'd much rather prefer, perhaps, you know, all of Moses' commandments are a lot easier than loving somebody. It's a lot easier to do all that Moses tells you, actually, to love somebody. It's relatively easy. That sort of love is really hard. It's an absolutely sacrificial love, because Jesus went to the cross. He died even to himself. And he was the pure and holy Son of God. But he died to his own wishes so that we might live. And that is the love that we are to learn from, to live in, and to connect ourselves to. And when we start to do that, real joy starts to enter into our lives. And I can only confess my lack of love, and how lacking in love I often am, and can only just ask the Lord's forgiveness that I failed him again and again. And that sort of Yeshua type love is often so lacking in my life. And that's why it's always good to have, this is the benchmark, the standard, if you like, that God lays before us. It's not a standard that is injurious to us, but a very standard of love that we grow by. And it's always good, as we start the day, when we end the day, to, Lord, where have I not lived in love as you wanted me to live in that kind of love, and have very short accounts with others and with the Lord. And I'm sure that you do, and I seek to do always, constantly giving thanks that the blood of Yeshua, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And it is a wonderful knowledge, knowing that he laid down his life for us, and that we can follow in his steps. That's really that simple, actually. Pilgrim's Progress. We are to follow in his steps. If you are my servant, follow me. He who follows me, him my Father will honor. So let's have a little prayer together. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful word, where you say, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son, a Savior of the world. Father, we with all of our being, we praise you and thank you that you are our Savior, the one who saves us from our sin and hell and destruction. And now, Lord, you've got a new way for us to live in your love. And thank you that you're teaching us about that way. And Lord, we're very slow to learn. I know I am. But Lord, you are teaching us, and we praise you and worship you and thank you for that. And we're asking for your Holy Spirit's help that we might become more Yeshua-like people. And then, Lord, your light would shine out through our lives because your love is shining out so brightly. We thank you that that is your will and that you might be glorified through our lives. And we ask you, please, to do it for your glory. So, Abba Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for this coming week. We ask you to please bless our week with your presence, with your love, with your strength, with every good thing in the Messiah, and make us a blessing in all that we do. And we ask it in Yeshua's wonderful, precious name. Amen.
Amen.